You are listening to the Green Lantern Corecast, episode number 102. This episode, you can't fight crypto.
To the Green Lantern Corecast. I'm your host, Frank Mateo, and joining me today are my esteemed colleagues of Green Lantern lore. I have Colton here on all things that are something about green, Eric, Eric, Andrew, Keebing, and Brandon. I'm not even going to go into like nicknames or pretty things anymore. These guys are war-torn veterans of the Green Lantern Corps. We're going to just go into this thing. How you guys doing, by the way?
I've seen
truck,
things.
Truck.
I feel pretty. Oh, so pretty.
Listen to DC News
and stuff.
All right, so pretty much we're going to be covering today on the relaunch of the DC franchise, of the Green Lantern franchise. We're going to cover Green Lantern, Green Lantern Corps, Green Lantern New Guardians, Red Lanterns. We're also going to be discussing the DCUO, the DC, that'll be the DC online game, downloadable content of the War of the Light.
Sure, that's what you can call it.
Fight. You're talking about the downloadable content for the DC online.
Fight for the Light.
Fight for the Light. And also, we're going to discuss Brave and Bold Batman, Green Lantern, Scorn of the Star Sapphire. So we have a few things to discuss. To kick off, we're going to go into the DC new universe, Green Lantern number one. Pretty much, we're going to reintroduce Hal Jordan, reintroduce the Sinestro, and technically, not that much has changed.
No news.
No, I was really kind of disappointed about that. Like, I was really excited. I'm like, all right, they're clearly redoing this stuff for people like me. Don't even get me started on how they're clearly not redoing all of this stuff for people like me. And if I hadn't been reading Green Lantern for the last year, I would have had no idea what the fuck was going on, which is so different from how I usually feel about these comic books in general.
Obviously,
right.
Obviously.
They weren't going to reboot Green Lantern. That was making them money.
It was a really obtuse decision. I mean, it's everything's so – a lot of the storylines are so up in the air, so it makes sense to kind of keep them going. But, like, think about it. I mean, even if the movie didn't bomb, you know, it would have been a better idea to kind of start everything fresh, as Karen is suggesting. But
well, now, come on, guys. I mean, Geoff Johns has been coming up with a story. He's had the same story in mind for, like, 20 years, and it's so rude to just interrupt him in the middle of it.
I know. It's obviously a long, drawn-out epic that has a clear ending and isn't just going to keep going forever. And it is interesting to think because, like, oh, maybe it's just a pet project for Geoff Johns. But, like, no, right? Because half the stuff that happened in Brightest Day is irrelevant now. Half the cliffhangers in the end of Brightest Day just aren't existing anymore. Nothing that he did in Flash, which is his favorite character, is around anymore. You know, it seems weird to not – start as hard a reboot as you possibly could on this. I mean, technically New Guardians is the hardest of the reboots, but that's really it. I mean, right? I mean, and who cares about Kyle anyway?
Hey, I like Kyle.
You also don't understand sarcasm. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, and even Aquaman just a retread of his Brightest Day issues with Aquaman, the stuff he's written with Aquaman before. So why doesn't he just do that? Just, you know, string us, the fans, piss us off. He already pissed himself off. Piss us off. Do a bunch of first issues that reiterate the stuff you've been talking about the last 5 years. Right?
True. Pretty much Green Lantern number one was just, again, retreading of water. And all the stuff that we already know. Or if you, like, go into it with a fresh pair of eyes, you're going to need to look back 2 years or 3 years worth of continuity of Green Lantern just to figure out what's going on in those first four pages. It's a ridiculous concept. The only real new thing we get is a rehash of the prior universe, and that's Sinestro being a Green Lantern, and that's about it. And that's not even a draw of the book.
Well, I mean, I don't know. You don't need to know that much about Green Lantern to understand Green Lantern number one. I mean, granted, the whole setup of Sinestro as a Green Lantern is kind of jarring and weird, but, I mean, it's kind of explained in the issue. I mean, apart from, you know, Sinestro Corps being out there. So, okay, so there's Green
and
Lanterns.
And Star Sapphires.
Green Lanterns are the good guys. Yellow Lanterns are the bad guys. I mean, it's not that deep, really. It never was.
Right.
I don't think all that much exposition was needed.
But I think a lot of the drama in this issue hinges specifically on an understanding, or at least a, you know, of the characters. And I think, if anything, what you're talking about is kind of a huge weakness in the franchise in and of itself, right? Like the idea that you can jump in this issue and you know totally who Hal is and totally who Carol is, and you can pick up on what's going on with them right away, right? But that says more about the non-complexity of their relationship than it does about the reader-friendly aspect of this series, you know?
And if anything, the Carol thing is evidence of kind of like an aspect that kind of did get sort of a clean sweep in a sense. Like, you know, she was kind of the queen of the Zamorons here about, you know, 2 months ago, and now, oh, I'm on Earth because Hal is too.
Yeah, so I think it's like the Aquaman issue where he just gives up being the king of Atlantis. It's like apparently Geoff Johns thinks it's totally okay if heads of state just walk out because they're tired. Or their boyfriends are in town. You know?
Remember my dad.
Yeah.
Fish and chips.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, I think Sinestro, I think the hook of the series, obviously, it's that Sinestro's the Green Lantern. And again, that would only be a hook if you're coming out of the actual – you're reading the book and you're really interested in Sinestro and you're like, oh my God, Sinestro's the Green Lantern. That's crazy. I mean, even if you're coming to the movie –
Or the movie, yeah.
Well, even in the movie, he's a noble character who the only evil thing he does is after the credits, and it's inexplicable, you know, within the narrative of the film. And so all the comic is doing is picking up years after that and kind of putting him in the beginning of the movie, but with a completely different personality. So essentially it's just a similar visual to something completely different. You know, it's like if he opened his mouth and all of a sudden he was just singing songs from Yo Gabba Gabba. It's that much of a disconnect with the movie. So,
you know, it could also be pointing towards people who watched the original Super Friends or the Justice League and who saw Sinestro as a villain.
Yeah, but even then, what is it – how do they understand what's going on with the Guardians? I mean, the fact that Gantic gets mind-jumped by the Guardians 2 pages later, the fact that Hal starts talking about killing Krona. I don't remember Krona being in the Super Friends and stuff. I mean, Krona's not even in the movie.
Krona's never mentioned by name in the movie.
So I think that's – I mean, really, the first issue is actually good. We talked about this before this cast, whatever. But the first issue is actually kind of funny and it's entertaining and covers a lot of ground that people I'm sure would have preferred to see, like Hal having a personality for the first time in a long time and, you know, kind of justifying that my complaints that he's been not doing anything to make money for the past like 4 years. So how is he able to keep his job in his Air Force position and how is he able to keep his apartment? And it turns out he hasn't been, except that it doesn't really seem like a logical progression of the story, as Andrew was suggesting, oh, so passive aggressively, right? It just seems like making it up as you go along and somebody making fun of him and saying, well, how come Hal keeps his job? And Geoff Johns is like, okay, he doesn't. Uh-huh. But it's like, wouldn't Hal have realized this before then? And how does he eat if he's in space? You know, what does he do? How does he stay in contact with people?
I almost feel like there was like a story or a mention maybe in Green Lantern Corps a few years ago that they actually do make money from the Guardians. Like they,
yeah, I thought
wasn't
so.
There something about that?
I thought so too.
They get paid.
No, I thought so too. But Geoff Johns on Twitter, actually, I think this week somebody asked him how much a Green Lantern makes, and he says they make $0 for being Green Lantern. So, I mean, it's not official in the canon in the comics, but the guy who's been running the franchise the last couple of years specifically finally has said they make no money from being Green Lantern. Presumably, they probably get fed. I mean, who knows? But
They get fed, they get places to sleep, and they get collateral damage insurance. So when they destroy half a planet, they don't
I feel like
pay.
There was stuff in Warriors about my week's credits or no?
Well, yes, there was a new Warriors and Green Lantern Corps. There was mentioning that, you know, rookies had money and that a Lantern battery cost like Quatloos or whatever the hell, you know.
Well, I know that that's why they both started the bar. They're like, we're just going to steal all the rookie Lanterns' money, but they don't explain where they get it from. I mean, it's kind of a huge problem in the DC universe. What the hell the deal with the Green Lantern is? How can you have it's like a volunteer organization, but you're always on call. I mean, how do you have time for money or a family or anything? You know, they don't show Green Lanterns going on shifts. They just always are in space fighting crime, you know? I mean,
unless you're like, you know, Guy Gardner who gets shore leave.
Are they all like, I mean, presumably the only argument is that they're all like, you know, because the way you read the actual comics themselves, it seems like they're in the military where that's their job. But then you read like a Kyle Rayner series, and he works, and he's like, oh, fuck. He's like, you know, doodling something in a coffee shop, and then all of a sudden, like, Sonar blows up a car across the street, so he's got to put his costume on and go fight crime, you know, fight crime when it's around. But that doesn't seem like what the franchise has been about the last couple – I don't know. We've talked about this endlessly, and it's not something they're ever going to clear up, unfortunately.
Did it really I mean, clearly we're off topic, but did that really distract you from this issue?
What
I think is sad about this issue is that it literally takes, like, either, like, a retelling of Hal's origin or like a company-wide reboot to actually get any kind of quasi-character issues for Hal. Well, it's so deliberately like he's trying to kind of sour his own milk. Jeff Johns is like, it's like, okay, so like in the next convention he can be like, oh, no, I've tried to tell, you know, character stories with Hal and look what happened.
No, I think it's one of those things where people are going to really like this issue and Hal and these issues, and they're going to justify that for liking Hal for the next 6 years when he still continues to be the character he's been the last 6 years, which is kind of a cipher, you know. And I think, going back to what Brandon was asking, it does take me out of it because I'm reading the comics, I'm reading the themes, I'm reading the overarching story, I'm thinking about the last 6 years of continuity, and I've asked every other podcast, I'm like, how does this guy keep his job? Like, where's this guy's apartment? Where's Cowgirl? Like, I've said all this stuff because it's brought up and then never spoken of again. And what it seems like here is Jeff Johns is like, well, I'm run out of ideas. I want to make Sinestro Green Lantern. It's only interesting if Hal's not a Green Lantern. Ooh, I can use the idea that I never mentioned before, but he didn't have a job. Why wouldn't anybody at any point say to him, hey, aren't you on call this weekend? Like, don't you have a something to do? Do you have any appointments? I mean, at no point anybody said this to him in the 6 years he's been fighting Sinestro Green Lantern. It takes me out of it because it ruins the reality of the situation for me, you know? I mean, they can't tell me it's a job. They can't tell me it's a military if they don't get paid. I'm just saying. Yada, yada, yada.
All right. Well, again, if anyone else has anything to bring to Green Lantern number one.
I'm just rereading and looking over the page where they're in the restaurant, and it just – It just brings me back to that very first showcase thing where suddenly, you know, you have Carol and she's like, oh, all I want to do is marry this guy who very clearly hasn't been able to pay for anything do anything. And she's really upset that he asked her to co-sign a loan for a car. I don't know. Struck me as being suddenly
limiting.
Let's go back to like the 1950s when all this woman really, really wants to talk about is get married and I don't know, it kind of grated on me.
And I'll go into a little deeper in that. I think when Carol first showed up in the first maybe year or two or a couple of years of her as a Green Lantern supporting character, her whole character seemed to be like her as a character was fighting against her own imposed stereotypical femininity of the times. That it's not like the writers – it's like the writers were like trying – like it was like the character herself was trying to escape the confines because they kept writing stories where she wanted to marry Green Lantern, but she wanted to marry him because he was a badass, and she didn't want to marry Hal because he was a punk, and she refused to date Hal even though she liked him because she had to run a company. She had shit to do and she had no time for love, even though every other story she's like, I must find time for love. And then it's almost like Carol, the character, is like, stop writing me like that, Gardner Fox. I want to fucking run a company, you know? And then even Star Sapphire herself is the epitome of that. Star Sapphire, the whole point of her character is a bunch of women's who want to prove that they're better than the men's, and they can't. You know, and that's Carol Ferris's old story in a nutshell. And this is completely going less than that. This is making Carol at her best, most competent, as Wes has said, as a character who he feels has developed a lot the last couple of years because she's gotten all badass and shit again. But she gives up being queen because Hal is homeless, you know, and then thinks Hal's going to propose to her in the middle of a restaurant and is pissed off when he doesn't. Like, you're going to marry this guy? Like, you haven't even spoken to him in, like, 6 months.
You just bailed him out of jail.
And you're like, oh, he's going to be an adult by proposing to a woman he barely knows anymore. Like, it's not an adult thing to do, you know? Like, that's just like – and it's basically what you're saying is, like, I'm so excited because now he's going to be codependent on me forever. And then when he literally asks a codependent question, like, I need help, you're out with money, she's like, F that noise. Like, you know, unless you're going to be part of my dowry, I'm not giving you any money whatsoever.
All right, Brandon, you got something to say?
I think – you guys are just really, really judgmental on Carol.
I'm with Eric. I mean, this issue kind of proves that, you know, Jeff is completely out of touch with, like, how people relate to one another.
And has never seen a woman
prove positive.
Fundamental misunderstanding of the way human beings interact with each other, I think is what
I saw no problem with the way Carol reacted.
You are part of the problem, man.
Brandon and I had a discussion about this, and Brandon was almost vehemently adamant that she did not believe that Hal was going to propose, and that's
It is a few weeks later, and I'm obviously a lot more cooler and a lot more intoxicated, but that's not her reaction to me. To me, her reaction was like, That's the first thing you say to me after you tell me you're going to get your ish together, after I bailed you out, after your rent is due. The first thing you say is, hey, I could use some more money. No. No, the first thing you're supposed to say to me is, Carol, I love you. I'm going to make this work. And it's like the final straw. And Carol just make said, fuck work? It. I'm out of here.
Make what work? They don't have a relationship.
Yeah, well, she did follow him into space because she was in love with him, even though she's developed her life way past the point of even remotely being having any.
Carol is smart enough of a woman. Carol is smart enough of a woman that she doesn't have to pretend that Cowgirl is an actual threat to her.
How come
she knows that relationship is nothing? We know that relationship is nothing.
We know because she's gone.
But it's weird for you to repurpose Carol's relationship with Hal as being like, I don't care if he's sleeping with other people. I'll just wait for him to be done. That's like such a horrible.
It's not waiting. It's not waiting. When if your girlfriend or wife came up to you and said, hey, my shit is all messed up right now. Wait on me. And you love this person. Would you not wait for them?
I would say, why am I waiting? And they would be like, because I have to get...
Because you love them!
No, why am I waiting? What am I waiting for? What kind of ish is messed up that they're going to fix? Because Hal's thing isn't that he was financially broke before this. Hal's thing is that he didn't want to marry Carol because he didn't want to marry anybody. Like, he didn't want to be tied down with anybody.
It's because he wasn't ready. And
actually, they haven't explained.
Top understanding that. And now that he has no excuse not to be with her,
well, no excuse, no
they
job,
were together.
No house.
The reason they broke up, they weren't together because he wanted to date her. This is historically. He wanted to date her, but she wouldn't date anybody because she was running her dad's company. And then she wouldn't date him because he was working for her, but she still slept with him and had a relationship with him. They eventually got together when he quit being Green Lantern, and then she was possessed by an evil space dominatrix, so that's why they broke up. Then they got back together, and then they broke up again because he was traveling the country after the space dominatrix stuff, and then she married somebody else. That's why they weren't dating. Then her husband and her got divorced while Hal was dead, and that's why they're not dating. I mean, since he came back to life and they've kind of ignored all that shit, they've never really given you a solid reason as to why he's not dating Carol. As a matter of fact, the tension is almost non-existent. It's very
–
every
okay.
time. Every time.
All right then. So there's no problem. There's no reason why.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Every time they cut. Every time they cut.
Expecting the marriage question.
Didn't the divorce?
Exactly.
The divorce happened in the
while he was alive.
Three-parter, wasn't it?
Well, listen. You might be right. Here's what I'm saying. I think if everybody who read the issue except for Brandon thought that she thought Hal was going to propose,
that's not the point.
No, but I'm just saying that's what was happening.
No, I'm saying that even if she did think that, I don't think that was priority to her. Priority was she's offended, not because he didn't ask, but because of what he asked.
Well, I think I don't mind that she's offended. That's fine.
No,
that she's that's
Wes,
fine. That
she pretty much directly says that she's getting in the car. Like, would that be such a horrible thing to think about or something? So it's.
I mean, he brought it up
because she said no. Because she was like, "Would you thought I was gonna?"
Okay. Wait.
She was like, "Yeah, get married. Yeah, it's not horrible." I'm just saying, like, I don't care that she's offended by what he asked. She should be offended.
I'm done.
I just
You're
think
all
that
fucking crazy.
And okay. It's not where.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to move on because we're getting too much onto this topic of marriage and Green Lantern not having jobs. We actually should be talking about two other Green Lanterns trying to get jobs at this current moment in Green Lantern Corps, number one. Pretty much we're, again, reintroduced to Guy Gardner and John Stewart trying to get new jobs on Earth and trying to have a stabilized life of some sort, which they can't.
I'm interested.
So, again.
Excellent issue.
Yeah,
Karen, I
really
Karen liked
said,
it.
Yeah, because this is probably this and the New Guardians are probably really good for you as someone who's familiar with this stuff but wanted some kind of in.
Yeah, I liked this because, I mean, Guy Gardner is a man after my own heart because he's a thug who doesn't think and no one likes. And so he's really easy for me to like. I've never seen Jon Stewart be a bigger dick than Guy Gardner. And I kind of thought
you.
That was
good. It was a good dick,
really
though.
Entertaining.
It's a nice dick.
Oh, no,
he was not a good dick. He was a complete asshole.
No, it was a good dick.
He was a complete asshole.
He was a lovable asshole.
No, it was
a
good dick.
Asshole.
It was a really good dick.
Can we stop saying good dick?
Eric knows good dick.
I'm a big fan of good dick.
Okay, so Bing.
Yeah.
You were saying.
I really like this issue. I was not expecting to. I was really not expecting to like this issue at all. And then I'm sitting there reading it and I'm sitting here going, "Really, Guy? You honestly think they're going to let you handle children?" Like, you really think you're going to get a job working with children?
I like that it's like kind of a throw in the face of every single other revamp.
Used to.
Yeah. Well, it's like a throw in the face of every single other revamp, because a lot of the revamps, they do get the job. They're like, yeah, sure, you can work with us. It's like no big deal. And then she's like, no, that's insane. That's insane. Yeah. Like, and it is insane. It's like, it is weird that Kyle Rayner just works in a coffee shop. Like, you know, or he doesn't. But, you know, it is weird that the people are just – well, most people's identities aren't out there. But it's weird that you would ever hire a superhero. Like, you really shouldn't. Like, the insurance premiums are just out of control.
Yeah.
I would imagine that the insurance wouldn't be that high, seeing as, you know, you got to have – reconstruction insurance all the time. Insurance.
I think both Green Lantern number one and Green Lantern Corps number one kind of mirror the same issues, which is like why these guys can't work as just like regular people on Earth.
Yeah.
Only this is an issue where it actually kind of
justifies the space.
Is this the Hurt Locker episode of Green Lantern Corps? What we just read?
Well, you know what it is? It's funny because this is definitely the same exact issue that Peter Tomasi started after the – or I don't know if it was Tomasi. I think it was Tomasi. Yeah, most of it, where he did Kyle and Guy, the same exact thing. Guy was like, I don't – he wasn't looking for a job at the time, but he was like, ice, but I can't, so
right
I'm going to go into space. And Kyle was like, I actually have a job that's going to be good, but I'm going to go into space. It's the same issue, but fine. Yeah. Like, okay. Technically speaking, I mean, you know, it is – I don't know if thematically it works to loop it around. Like, I'm sure Tomasi wasn't like, I'm going to do the same issue because it's artful. I think it's just because, you know, as a writer, he's working with what he has, which is good. But, you know, I think – and as you said, I think it's – it's a good way to demonstrate why these guys – it justifies them being Green Lanterns. It, you know, I think especially the John thing, that was really interesting because I don't think that was as cut and dry as all that. You know, I think he was trying to do something good and then it was kind of lame that he just gives up because he thinks these people are corrupt and stuff like that. But it's good to see him kind of be morally judgmental of people and more of an ambiguity. Like the reason he won't work as a Green Lantern is because he doesn't like people, you know, and that's interesting because it's an aspect of John that's always been implied but never really stated since it became like a hard-nosed Marine guy, that he fucking doesn't like people, you know. I mean, back in the day, John Stewart was a pretty generic character,
yeah, but
now he's like – does not socialize, you know, and it's interesting. They should do a story. John Stewart does not socialize. Tomar 2 is talking to about it.
It's fitting. It's fitting. He killed Mogo to take his title.
Yeah, so I mean that's pretty good. You know, and I think the hook is good too. It's exciting to see a hook that's everybody complains it was graphic. It's like, oh, it's fine. I like that it's graphic. I don't mind the graphic violence and stuff. And I think the hook of the series that it's like he – and Peter Tomasi is the only guy involved in Green Lantern in the last couple of years who's legitimately trying to introduce new characters. You know what I mean? Zardoz or whatever, that ridiculous, stupid character he created like right before the Green Lantern Corps War and stuff like that was silly. But at least he's trying to do something new. And this one, it's like – wow, you mean there's actually like a space mystery that Green Lanterns have to solve? I'm shocked. Like, are you sure it's not another Corps member? Like, aren't there any other colors left in the rainbow and stuff? But no, he's like, no, it's let's give you some interesting hooks and interesting kind of like what's going on here. And I don't know. I like.
Well, you say that, but it feels like more retread to me. It feels like the same one shot we just got done reading with Guy going across.
Yeah.
And saving the princess or whatever.
Yeah, but no one was trying to have sex with the guy in this issue.
I don't know. If this was like – if this was Green Lantern Emerald Warriors number 14, I don't know that it would
no
seem
difference.
That – it would seem kind of the same.
Right? You know, I think
– I like it, but it's like, eh.
You know, it's a good point. I think maybe for me because I didn't like the one-shots because I felt like they were too condensed in terms of – and they didn't have a lot of imagination in terms of what happened in the story. And you're right. This is a lot like that giant space black bug thing happening. It's – but I feel like maybe because it's the way it's paced, it's kind of spread out a little more, you know. And I think maybe for me it's – I like the idea that he's kind of trying to establish a credible threat that's going to last longer than just an issue as a one-off adventure. Like, and it's not to do with all the core and the endless storyline that we've been reading the last couple of years. I don't know. I mean, it might just be because I liked those issues. I just didn't like the pacing. Maybe I just liked the pacing.
Personally, speaking, I like the character building moments that they had because it kind of gave us that point where like, we don't really see some of these characters just on their own anymore. That's like the main problem with Hal because he didn't do anything. But it's just nice to see how his character just, you know, like how these two characters work in like normal situations, even though they can't really seem to work in normal situations.
Yeah. I think John's costume's a little overdrawn, I think. I never liked John's costume in Justice League, and I think – I thought it was a real mistake to bring it into the GL comics, and it's here to stay, I guess, but kind of overshining it. It looks cool, but it's one of those things where it's like –
It's funny because it's supposed to be the most simplified Green Lantern costume.
Yeah, I think they're trying to redesign it, you know, but I think they should just redesign. I think the biggest problem with it for me is because it's – the meta is that – no one's going to draw it like this for more than an issue or two, so it reminds me of all the new Justice League costumes. Like, guaranteed in a year, those costumes are going to be gone because they're just too hard for people to draw, you know? And especially 75,000 times an issue, you know? So it's like you're going to be able to be like, all right, well, it's cool looking, but there's no way he's going to stay shiny forever, you know?
Well, that's the colorist thing. That's not
– No, that's the drawing. You can see the inking in there.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I think as long as Fernando has some time, then he'll be fine. We'll see. We'll have shiny John for the long term.
I don't even think
– Nice color.
Yeah, good color.
Very good color. All
right. Well, let's move on to Green Lantern.
I have one complaint. The only complaint I have about this issue is I had to flip back two or three times because the Aquaman ad, I so thought that the water aliens drowning was like some sort of a lead into Aquaman. And I was like, wait, no, that did have a sector bubble, right? Like this is, we're supposed to be the Green Lantern. This is an Aquaman number one, like a preview, is it? So I think DC may want to. They want to watch where they put their ads because I found it confusing.
I wouldn't mind Aquaman in space.
That would be awesome.
He normally is. He's normally.
He's gone to some alien worlds and messed with some alien.
Yeah, but who hasn't?
Fish.
All right, so let's move on to Green Lantern, New Guardians.
What about
Red
Lanterns? Are we skipping Red Lanterns?
We're gonna save that for last.
For last?
The worst for last.
I actually want to save the worst.
Can we have a discussion about which one goes last?
All right.
I'd rather talk about the New Guardians last because I liked it, but yeah.
All right, so let's talk about Red Lanterns. Peter Milligan with Red Lanterns.
How Atrocitus got his groove back.
How about this Ed Bennett completely abandoning what had finally become the standard design for Atrocitus? Like, again, that's just – I'm not drawing holes in his face. That's just too hard to draw. He's now just got a monster face. Fuck off. Like, Atrocitus – the only thing that was unique about Atrocitus was his face, you know, and finally Doug Monkey's like, I'm sorry. I'm drawing it like this. You guys have to deal with it. And Ed Bennis is like, no, I guess I don't. I guess I don't have to deal with it. I'm surprised. It's like another thing, like how Flash traveling through time made Morgan Edge black. I guess it made the holes in Atrocitus' face disappear, I guess.
That's a Flashpoint reference for those listening.
Thank you, Captain.
I can't imagine people who listen to Green Lantern Corecast don't know what happened in Flashpoint.
You'd be surprised, actually.
Aren't we episode 102? Yeah, just so you guys know.
But yes.
Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, this is the Red Lantern number one, pretty much bringing us some more insight on what these raving maniacs do for a living. You know, and some more starring power for. Dexter, the violinist cat from Earth.
Yeah. I don't know why they
said, who gets punked out.
Yeah, they set him up as like, oh, we're going to have him fight Kryptos. And I'm like, he's going to fight Krypto? He's like, he got his ass kicked. Like, Krypto can beat up Superman. Like, he got his ass kicked. Like, no, you can't fight Krypto. Get out of here. You can't fight Krypto. How strong are these guys? Cat, my biggest problem with the issue, I think, I'm sorry if you're going to say something, Frank.
No, I was just going to bring up pretty much that, For number one issue, and again, being the fact that it's supposed to be an ongoing series, these guys are literally one-note characters, and I have no idea why they got an actual series out of this.
Well, you know, it's like the Hulk. It's like just a team of Hulks, but they vomit blood and stuff, and Hulk's had – you know, it's funny because people think the Hulk's such a popular character, and his comic has trouble because exactly what Frankie's saying. People read and they're like, all right, he's big. He punched that guy. What happens next? The next writer's like, in my run, he's going to get bigger and punch different guys. Like, it's like, how much more can you really write about that?
Thrilling adventures.
Peter Milligan obviously is trying to do something, but you could tell he's phoning it in. The subplot about, like, where Rage is and what Rage happens. I mean, everybody knows that some kind of unorthodox twist is going to happen with that Earth-based storyline, and maybe one of those guys could become a Red Lantern, or maybe not, you know, but – thematically it's not really going anywhere. I had a big problem with this when I first talked about it. Essentially now they're all going to become Punishers in space, you know. I was talking about how Atrocitus is an impossible character to redeem because in his big redemption issue, a woman is being threatened by her boyfriend and Atrocitus murders her. You know, like it's like someone's about to get killed by her boyfriend. Atrocitus is like, I'm going to kill you first and then eat your blood. So it's like it's hard to sympathize with a character like that despite the fact that his wife, St. Walker, was killed, you know. But this obviously – it's like Peter Milligan even said, like, oh, and Tony Bedard said in an interview, like, he's like, it's kind of unclear what all these characters are doing. And it's another example of what I'm talking about, Hal Jordan. It's like, for these characters have been around for 2 years, and this issue is like Peter Milligan having Atrocitus say, like, I don't know what we do all the time. And it's like, but what do you do all the time? Like, what have you been doing? Like, where have all you guys been? How have you been organizing them if all of a sudden?
Well, it hasn't been a core. It's just been
a pack of wild dogs.
But every time Atrocitus shows up,
wants to
like,
do.
There's like 70
vomiting blood
on his team fighting with him, fighting dudes. Like, why did
When was the last time Atrocitus rode in the pack?
Blackest Night.
New Guardians?
What did he do in Blackest Night?
There's
I don't remember.
It seems like there's always been kind of this vague sense that maybe Atrocitus has some kind of master plan for whatever.
But apparently his plan was killing Krull.
Yeah, apparently it turns out.
And he didn't even use the core for it. He did it by himself. Like, he was like, I'm going to do it alone. You guys stay here. Why did you hire us? Shut up. It's like, you know. I like the idea that it's like a dog pack. And I think that's what Milligan's going for here, you know, that they're all aggressive, super aggressive, and they only respond to, like, whoever the alpha is and stuff. And that's what we'll probably see. We'll probably see some kind of, like, you know, cowing and, like, a lot of, like, snapping at each other, and a lot of Atrocitus has to beat somebody down and stuff. And that's kind of cool.
Butt sniffing.
But again, I think he's kind of essentially simplifying the characters to explain who they are. It's just what you're doing is you're hanging a lampshade on the fact that these characters had no motivation. And now the whole series is about, well, what's their motivation? And Atrocitus is like, I'm going to fight crime.
On top of that, he's retconning things.
Yeah.
He's going back and he's changing things so he can do that.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, if you're going to drastically change these people you can't convince me that these aren't one-note characters by going back and changing things
that
already established.
Yeah.
It's like, no, they're not one-note. Look. Like, yeah, that's different.
It's a philosopher.
I mean, it's funny. What if they – yeah, if they were like destroyers, you know, why not – I mean, not to be like whatever, but why not do a series about like unrepentantly evil characters? You know, like they just go around wrecking shit. I mean, you can't really do that, but
– I would respect that.
Yeah, I mean, or like I said, make it like a pack of wild dogs. Like they scavenge and they pillage and shit like that, you know, and they're
– I mean, well, it's obvious he wants to build up tension between Atrocitus and Bleeze.
Yeah.
But even that – you know, how can you really build that? And then you have the subplot with the kid in London and his brother. It's like, this isn't interesting.
Yeah, it all seems very funded. I mean, one of the interesting things about Peter Milligan, we were talking about even in JL Dark, where you know, he has Shay, the changing man, create a woman just to hang out with him, and then, you know, she's horrified to discover that she's fake, and he just melts her anyway. You know, the idea of this kind of like intense ambiguity of his characters, and like think about like his run at Ecstatics, and how the whole point of the series was like ambiguity. That's the entire premise of the series was, and shining moments of heroism that were just destroyed with like vomit and like society, you know, building on these like people that just try to do the right thing, but inherently are doing it for the wrong reason. And I thought that'd be a really interesting angle to go into the Red Lanterns with this guy who loves writing ambiguous characters, whose whole career is based on creating superheroes that have nothing but selfish desires. And to take the most selfish, essentially, characters in the Green Lantern universe and then making them altruistic, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's the opposite of progression. I don't know. It seems very safe. And the Ed Benes art is ugly. So ugly.
I don't think it's ugly. I just think it's very posterized. It's the typical ass shot Ed Benes.
Yeah, pornographized.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just weird contortions on everybody,
I were wearing that outfit that Bleeze is wearing and sitting in the poses she's posing in, I too would be vomiting blood.
I thought you were going to be posing like she did.
You know, it's funny because
internal damage.
Something that's interesting that I've never really thought about, but this issue made me think about is how come Atrocitus wasn't killed when his entire sector was destroyed?
That origin part.
And you think that someone would take advantage as to why. I think Brandon had pointed out actually when last time we talked about this that like his family is destroyed, his village is destroyed right around him, and then the robots just fly off. Like, and there's no mention of like why they spare him. It just seems like an oversight on their part, and it's like you destroyed an entire sector except for one dude because
I thought it was five dudes.
On the other inversions, I guess. Or
yeah, well, even them. Why?
He ain't got time to die.
He doesn't have time.
I only have time to bleed. I only have time to bleed.
I do want to mention that the Krona bit where he talks to the dead body and says the weirdest things ever.
Yeah. That was hilarious. What kind of days are these? Like, indeed, what kind of days are these?
They're like lovers.
Like lovers.
Yeah, it's very weird thing. Yeah. I thought that was the most interesting bit of the comic, and I thought if he takes Atrocitus into this, I don't want to say psychologist angle, but if he takes it into this guy who's always thinking about how everyone else is thinking, then it might be a lot more interesting comic, you know, because I feel like we saw that brief glimpse of Larfleeze without his ring screaming, help me. I think if you took the ring off Atrocitus and he didn't die.
He'd die.
Well, essentially, too, Atrocitus.
If he didn't die, I think he would be that smart guy that was always analyzing. This is like the third time I'm saying this today. The Sherlock Holmes of people who always analyzes everything.
Well, I think, you know what it is? I think, and again, another big thing with the Red Lanterns, we're always saying, like, how did they get them? Where did this lantern come from? What does it even mean? And, you know, and they still haven't really explained it. And it could be explained offhandedly that Atrocitus did it to mock the Green Lanterns and stuff, but they don't. I mean, and I think one of the things that's interesting about Atrocitus as a character that they never really go into is that of all the other core, except for Sinestro, and even counting Sinestro, he's the only one who invented his own core and created his own weaponry for the core. I mean, even Sinestro had to enslave an entire planet and stuff to kind of have this happen. And, you know, it's interesting because if you think about it, yeah, this guy in charge of an empire of wild dogs, I mean, that is an interesting character idea, just not if he's a superhero, not if he's Venom Lethal Protector. Like, you know, I don't want to read
it. It's an interesting angle. I don't want to beat this.
Yeah, Kuhan, but you think, right? No.
He's dead. But I think it's a very interesting angle if you go to psychologist route and make him a smart man who's just still filled with rage and that rage subsiding. I think that's what you need to base the entire book around, not the alpha dog angle that you like, but the what's going to happen from here on out when I'm not angry. I think if you can stretch that into like Atrocitus thinking about retirement. Or, you know, just like, all right, I'm at peace. I'm done. That's the old man Logan go sit on the farm or something.
You know, it seems like that. Yeah, it seems defeated. Oh, yeah, I guess so. Because the only contrast you can get then is supposedly the whole thing about Red Lanterns is that they can't stop. You know, like if they ever stop being Red Lanterns, they die, like literally. So it's kind of like, you know, that's who Atrocitus is. I mean, if he takes his ring off, he doesn't turn it. He doesn't lose his heart, right? Because that happened.
I think if this wasn't a Green Lantern-centric comic, we might actually see Atrocitus die that way.
Well, yeah,
I'd be perfectly fine if we got to the point where he was okay with death and he was just like, not mad, and die. Yeah, that would be awesome.
I think, like I said, you know, I think we're going to get a lot of just like villains coming in and he's just going to be essentially a superhero and stuff. And unfortunately, Atrocitus is going to be around for a while.
Yeah.
See him die snuggled up with his kitten.
Finally said to St. Walker, like, my wife.
That's my favorite page of the entire issue is, what are you doing to my cat? Because I've done that to people, and that I looked pretty much like that when I did it, too. So.
It'd be a fun death if he dies with St. Walker at his bedside.
Yeah.
You look like
holding Dexter in hand.
Atrocitus is kind of a diehard. I mean, he had his heart ripped out and nothing.
What was his daughter's name? Like motherfucking ugly. Like remember how upset Brandon was when he first saw his daughter? He's like, why? I don't care. Your kid is so ugly. She should be dead. I'm like, someone's missing.
Damn.
That is
forever, daddy. Forever.
That's right. Forever, daddy. Yeah. Fucking eat dirt, shithead. Yeah.
Anyway, on that note, we're going to move on to Green Lantern New Warriors, pretty much where we get another.
Why do you keep saying
– I mean, New Guardians. Mom said every time I want to say New Guardians, say New Warriors.
It's called
I'm sorry.
Retitle, New Warriors.
You
even said Red Lantern New Warriors. I swear I heard it.
It says Green Lantern New Guardians, the Kyle-centric issue.
So this is the one with Night
Thrasher and running
Speedball, right? Because that's – anyway, Marvel. Sorry.
So again, yeah, this is a brand new issue, a brand new title for the Green Lantern franchise. Kyle centric, pretty much getting every single color under the rainbow coming to him, and we have Tyler Kirtman, of course, drawing it all badly. What do you guys think?
I think you guys are way too harsh on Tyler Kirkham.
No, he's a terrible.
I don't think I'm harsh enough on Tyler Kirkham.
I think we're nice because he was nice to us that one time, but he's terrible.
I've never had a problem with him. He's perfectly
simple. I don't think it's ever been that bad.
He can't draw. That's the problem. He draws for a living, and he can't draw a picture.
He's fine.
You know, the worst part about this issue, art-wise, for me, was when Kyle got the ring, his hair was all Dragon Ball Z-like. And that was the only thing that stood out to me as really bad, but everything else everything else just seemed it wasn't the first art I'd pick off the shelf, obviously. Andy Kubert's awesome.
I think all you need to say is that there's a section where Kyle's waitress is a black woman, I think, who's serving them, and there's a woman sitting across from him, and he draws a picture of the waitress, and all three faces are identical. And literally, you have to read the dialogue to understand who he's drawing.
Yeah.
So you can't.
I agree there. When I saw the sketch, I said, he's drawing you, you idiot.
Yeah. Like, you're an idiot.
You missed the ponytail there.
And the proportions are all off, and like when Kyle's like ass is humongous for half the issue, and his head is so tiny. And
I tend to glance over a comic character's ass unless it's voodoo or something. But no, I don't find a problem with the art. Story wise, I thought it was excellent. I don't want to big it up too much because it was a breezy read.
Too breezy.
But,
lots of splash pages. Too many double splash pages.
Yeah, like seven.
I liked what was there, but yeah, kind of short.
Yeah, still, yeah, it was good. I enjoyed the saving of the construction worker. I enjoyed the bar scene very much. I thought it was adorable. I don't know what else to say. I thought Eric doesn't like the fatality bit, but
it's the worst piece of exposition.
I honestly had the biggest smile just seeing another Star Sapphire. It was like heaven.
Why?
I don't know.
He just likes Star Sapphires.
We're getting something out of it. And the fact that, how about the fact that we learned that a crystal can save a Star Sapphire?
Well, I think it's because she just put her in it's like creating a construct around her, like a bubble.
And when you lose your ring, you lose your ring. It's gone. You're effed. It immediately dropped.
I think,
and I thought that was amazing. I think, thanks to our interview with Tony Bedard, that we're actually going to get some substance out of these side characters.
Well, you'll see.
Hopefully. And the cliffhanger at the end of this issue that was spoiled in that interview, it's interesting now. I'm really convinced. Ironically, I don't have the issue in front of me, but was Satan Walker not there?
No.
He was not.
Yeah.
No. Neither was an ordinary.
Because he's not going to jump them. I mean, he's not going to fight anybody, so it's not as interesting. And nobody really knows what the Blue Lanterns can do, you know? I think it needs to be said that what Fatality says is, I'm no hero, just a hunter who finally saw the light, but whoever thinks they can steal Star Sapphire Ring is about to learn why I was once known as quote-unquote Fatality. It's literally the worst piece of exposition in the entire 52 relaunch. And that you're talking about some shit in this relaunch. It is the ugliest piece of writing. Like, it is an info dump in the worst possible way, you know? I mean, there's other ways to say it. Just call yourself by your name, you know, and you could have done anything else, you know. And I think the end, I think they should have had Bleez and whatever his name is, Monk, and Archilo earlier in the issue. I think the best criticism of it is that it's too short and it wastes too much time on these splash pages and stuff. And we had the same problem when Tony Bernard was writing Green Lantern Corps. I mean, that Weapon arc took half a year to come out, and literally there was – one fight, one fight, one fight. I mean, it was three fights, and it took six issues and half a year to come out. And nothing happened in terms of plot. Like,
there's no way that was six issues.
Weapon Hardcover in stores now.
Yeah, Weapon Hardcover in stores now. I think the opening was cool too. I think if you look at the door that Tyler Kirkham draws for everyone to go use the bathroom in the beginning of the Cowboys door, that kind of tells you everything you need to know about him as an artist. Because that's nothing remotely perspective accurate about that, or it's not even an actual rectangle. What's happening there? I mean, it's without even looking at the horrendous faces and stuff. I think that tells you everything right there. I like the retelling of Kyle's origin. The couple of details they changed are fine. I don't mind. Gant had hated him for the first entirety of his career until post rebirth and stuff. But rewriting it to them as bros is cool. I like the twinge at the end that Kyle makes fun of him, and you know it's cute that Gant. It's like, oh, super awesome, bro. You know, like, I think if they were going to reboot Gant, though, they probably should have dropped that ponytail. I don't know if I ever told you guys I hate that ponytail.
Why?
Because it's stupid. Wait, it's so dated.
He's sensitive ponytail.
Yeah, exactly. He's like Uncle Ultimate Spider-Man. It's like, oh, I'm so glad you got shot. Yeah, only to get rid of that ponytail.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you feel about them once and for all? Getting rid of the whole social experiment from Kyle with the male and female Guardians.
Well, I guess – well, did they? I mean, is there any reason to assume that his whole career didn't happen in the interim? I mean, because the Guardians are all still dead in the beginning of this. I mean
– but Gant, it says brothers and sisters.
Oh, wait. Hold on.
Yeah. Maybe some of the Guardians –
oh, right, because it was females before this. Yeah. That's – well, they already established that in – I guess you're right. This is kind of a once and for all thing. But they did, didn't they establish that in all those the 1 billion year ago stuff with Krona?
You see what looked to be female guardians, but then Jeff at San Diego a couple years ago was like, no, there's a story there, blah, blah, blah.
Well, at least we could still say this story happened. He just didn't make girls for the first time, that's all. Because technically there were always female guardians, right? They just all became Zamorons and stuff. So, I mean, at least – well, whatever. Anyway, I like this issue a lot. I actually said it was the best of the week in all the 52 relaunches, but I think that's just because I like Kyle Rayner a lot, and there's some good Kyle Rayner stuff in here. I do think it's weird to make fun of his costume. I like his costume. I think it's weird to make fun of his costume.
It's the best costume.
It's just a kid being a green bib
is funny. I think that's just the writer kind of showing his stuff. And though it does alarm me to think that, oh my God, are they going to redesign his costume? Please don't redesign his costume. Like, Kyle's had some clunkers.
It's pretty funny that kid actually believes Hal Jordan's costume is the best costume ever.
Yeah. And it's good. They do bring up, like, oh, you're the other Green Lantern and stuff, and it's fine. I mean, you know, it's stupid, but, it's fine. And someone actually – I read a couple of articles where somebody made the point is they don't say in Hal's book, you're the other Green Lantern. Like, you know, only Kyle needs to be compared to the other Green Lanterns. You know, nobody says – and I mean, occasionally when someone talks to Jon Stewart, they say, oh, yeah, you're that Green Lantern kind of a thing. But Kyle's the only one who's consistently – every time he has – an introduction, he has to remind people that he's not Hal Jordan, and that's okay, you know?
How about we just assume that it's because Kyle has been in space a little longer than Hal?
You know, it's fair to say I think they know who Kyle Rayner is now after those rings showed up.
Hey, I don't think they –
Yeah.
They won't be forgetting.
Kyle Rayner, you've been chosen. You've been chosen.
Yeah, in the Social Security bit, I thought that was cute and funny. I thought this was a really solid book.
I like that. Oh, this can't be good.
It was
like,
fun.
Oh, this can't be good.
It was a fun read.
It's a cliche.
Yeah, I got to say, I do. Eric, you want to say something?
No, I'm just saying, it's just what you guys have seen me talk about. Oh, this can't be good. I think that was cliche line reading, but it's actually kind of funny if you think about it because, you know, it's kind of a miraculous thing that's happening, but he's looking at it and he's like, oh, man, this is – he's like recognizing that he's in a plot twist and stuff. And it's almost like – it's interesting because Kyle Rayner, the character, has always been – I mean, the truest form in the thing that people usually defend about him is that, oh, he's just like us put in the comic. I mean, it's completely inaccurate. None of us are amazing artists who have like insanely great bodies with kick-ass hair, you know, and a really great design sense and stuff. But still, this is kind of – it's interesting because the whole issue reads like that. If you read it like that, it's about a dude who accidentally fell into a Green Lantern comic. That's pretty interesting, you know.
I want to know why Bleez isn't blue.
She's supposed to be blue.
Isn't she?
Her skin color.
Is she?
Yeah.
It's
to be very
it's a
red.
Faint blue. Yeah, it's supposed to be pale, but
Wasn't she blue when she was normal, and then when she got the ring, she went pale?
I remember Fatality being a different color than this too. Wasn't she like redder or not as red? She wasn't as pink.
She was redder.
She wasn't pink in this.
I'm colorblind.
Well, she used to have a whole different costume before this, but
well, yeah.
Now she looks like one of the chicks from Cannonball Run in the Ferrari.
She's a little over designed, but yeah. That's why I'm worried about Kyle. What if Kyle gets it?
Kids, ask your parents about that.
What if Kyle goes back to the switches and buckles of the Jim Lee days? You know, what if he becomes a belt buckle? What do you need a belt buckle for if your suit's made of magic?
Yeah. We'll be lucky if he doesn't become Captain Planet.
I wonder where Arkillo's tongue went.
Oh, it probably rotted off.
It would have rotted away. I mean,
eventually
it
would have.
It's like, oh God, what is that smell?
What is this?
The bigger question is, why the fuck does he still have all his fingers? But anyway, yeah. They seem to have forgotten about that.
Yeah, that's
maybe he regenerates them or something. I don't know.
Yeah, well, they don't. Yeah, alien bullshit. Can be explained. Like Amon.
Although if he can grow back his finger, why wouldn't he grow back his? Nah.
One of the throwaway lines I didn't enjoy was the fact that Gambit actually says that he can overcome great fear.
Oh, well,
Yeah, it's one of the things that bugs me.
I think the only thing that bugged me about that scene was that Ganthet was so calm about it.
Everybody died.
And he's just standing there. It's like, hey.
Like a proud dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, how I know it was just for moral value, but it's interesting that we had that whole like 6-page spread where Ganthet busted his ass to build a ring, and then here he's just like yoink out of thin air and stuff. It's
like Frank said, it's like a proud day. It really seems like a graduation present. Like, here, Kyle, this is yours. I said this before.
I miss a little homeless man that saw him that saw the entire thing transpire.
I think that
I'm an Oompa Loompa. Here's my ring.
The street almost kills the whole thing for me because you know whatever. But I hate that joke whenever somebody magic
the magician joke.
I hate the joke whenever somebody magic shows up and the character goes like, "Oh, is there a camera? Who I'm like, "Fuck off, you fucking dipshit!" There hasn't even been a candid camera show on the air in like 3 or 4 years. But whatever. I guess this was 5 years ago. Or how old was this? This can only be like a year ago, like in terms of the DC new time. I think
you know, Hal went crazy during the first 3 months of his career.
I like that Kyle Rayner goes out to take a piss, and that's why, because I think that was eventually established in Ron Martin.
That was exactly what. Yeah, that's what happened during the.
Because I think in the first time, the first issue, he was just going somewhere, and I think later when they
read. No, my mistake. It's not that. In the original run, he prevented his friend from throwing up in the back. In a back alley. And then he went out for fresh air.
Yeah, they retcon that actual moment more than once in the original, like, volume 3. Though Frankie actually made a good point to say that, you know, he's from California, and when he first got the ring, he was in California, and for some reason it's been rewritten as New York, which seems like a nitpick, but it's kind of like, you know, it's like...
It's not surprising. I mean, they put everybody in New York.
Yeah, I'm from New York, so I don't care, but I think it's great. But also it's kind of like... It reminds you, like, they wouldn't do it to anybody else, but, I mean, Green Arrow is in Seattle now. He's not in Star City anymore. He had his own city that was fictional and his own, and Flash running through time erased that city from existence, I guess. They worry about that anymore.
All right, so, again, we already gave our thoughts of all the new relaunch issues of the Green Lantern proper. We're going to go into the DCU, DC Universe Online, and talk about the downloadable content.
Yeah, DC Online is a game I've been playing consistently since launch, and it's going free-to-play, I think, in a couple of weeks, whatever. But they teased and implied and then denied that they were going to have heavy Green Lantern content, and they finally did. I guess it's been weeks and weeks. They launched a new power set, which is hard light constructs, and if you're a good guy, you get to have green, and if you're a bad guy, you get to have yellow. And essentially, you know, it's really just, you know, it's exactly how it sounds. The, you know, you can't create your own constructs in terms of invent them and stuff, but you can there's an insane amount of constructs to pick from, and there's a brand new kind of fighting style where you string the constructs into each other in order to create like a larger combat cycle. And you know, it's actually pretty cool, and one of the coolest things about it is that you know, as long as you have this power, you have a glowing green ring constantly on, so that's pretty awesome. I mean, there's a lot of really cool things to it, and this is the first time I've ever played a game where I legitimately feel like a Green Lantern and stuff. And unfortunately, you don't really get the uniform right off the bat, but you know, me and I'm sure and everybody else who plays the game has modified their costumes to fit the Green Lantern style. There's also, because of the relaunch of the material, there's new missions and there's new rare materials. Some of the rare materials include Guy Gardner's vest. You can get that. You can also get Kyle's crab mask, which is awesome, and I haven't been able to get a hold of that yet. You can get a Ferris aircraft.
That's in there?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. You get a Ferris aircraft hoodie, which is stupid because it's just a big F on it, and I'm like digging through the history to find out if that's an actual logo or not, but whatever. There's all kinds of cool shit you can get. And then there's new armor. There's armor called the Sector Agent armor that when you get it, you essentially look like a Alpha Lantern and stuff. And so it's pretty cool. And, you know, some of the constructs include, you know, jets, as you expect, and boxing gloves and baseball bats and giant claws and miniguns and spikes and shit like that. And, you know, like I said, you actually legitimately feel like a Green Lantern while you're playing it and stuff. And some of the new missions they've added, they have three major missions and a couple smaller missions, and most of them involve the ongoing storyline of the game is Brainiac is doing something or other, you know, and there were some Green Lantern missions at launch, and this kind of ties into that. And there's a whole mission where you go to Star Labs and you fight Sinestro Corps members or Green Lantern Corps members, depending on whatever, and at the end of that, you end up fighting Parallax, and the way the story does it is that, you know, Parallax possesses Arkillo and then Kilowog and then Sinestro and then Hal, and it sounds cooler than it is because essentially you're just fighting those characters but with like rows of teeth. That's the only difference, so it's kind of lame. There's another mission where you have to actually fight Atrocitus, Amon Sir, and Kyle Rayner, so it was very depressing for me to have to hit Kyle Rayner, but I did it, you know, because I had to do it to save him because he went crazy for whatever it was. At Ferris Aircraft. So that's
you did it for love.
The worst part about it is at Ferris Aircraft, you get to go there and fight, and that's awesome.
Really? Kyle's whole role is that you have to take him on?
Well, that's essentially what everybody is whenever they introduce a new character. I mean, you have to fight Hal Jordan, too. You don't have to fight Guy Gardner or John Stewart. I haven't seen John Stewart. I don't know if John Stewart's actually in there. Somebody told me he was, but I haven't seen him. I feel like an asshole. But anyway, and then it's cool. You're in Ferris aircraft, and there's jets, but you can't pick them up or smash them. But there's gasoline trucks you can pick up and smash. I'm like, I don't care about Ferris aircraft gasoline trucks. I want to smash Highball into Atrocitus's face, you know. Anyway, and then the third mission is an Owen prison escape mission, and that's actually pretty cool because basically you go to Oa. The science cells are emptying. You have to cull the riot, and it's basically – it's like a gauntlet type, you know, games where you just fight waves of enemies. It's sort of like a survivor mission except it's an actual structured mission with bosses. And there's a variety of randomly generated villains. Vice of the Red Lanterns is one of them. Lyssa Drax with the Book of Parallax is in it, and she actually uses Carousel. Is it Carousel with the evil dog? She uses Carousel's evil dogs against you. And it's one of those things where someone who's been ripping on the franchise for years, I will admit to my eternal shame, I felt childish glee as I was allowed to like interact with Lyssa Drax, not just hit characters that Jet Johns invented because I was so happy about that, but actually beating up Atrocitus kind of felt cool, I gotta say. Also, Evil Star, I know Frank, you'll be really excited. Evil Star shows up with its little starlings at one point, and you can get his mask if you get the right kind of randomized whatever. And the final boss of that is Krona himself, not little mutated Krona, unfortunately. It's Colton Clayton approved Krona, big gigantic Greek looking Krona. And what's interesting about that is that he has that energy. He has a super soaker backpack and a super soaker glove that you can get in the game. I got the backpack. The glove is a separate item, which is such bullshit, but I got the backpack, so that's the rare item I have so far. And, I mean, overall, I'm just rambling about it like I'm describing it, like what a fucking nerd. But it's actually fun. It adds enough dimension and weight to the game, and as someone who's a big enough fan of the Green Lanterns, I'm actually, for the first time in months, playing it a couple of hours a day as opposed to the half hour a day, 2 hours a week I would play just to kind of get the good gear. Now I'm just getting it because I want to get the styles and shit, you know, and it's pretty cool. I mean, if you have an established character, you're actually allowed to switch them over to Green Lantern character. Unfortunately, if you guys know how MMOs work, there's like roles and stuff like that. So, you know, my character is not – his gear is not applicable to Green Lantern, so I had to invent a brand new Green Lantern character. If anybody out there plays on the PS3, my character is Greybeard, and you guys are going to make fun of me. But my Green Lantern character's name is Greybeard2814. It would not allow me to do Green Lantern and Greybeard. That's bullshit. It wouldn't let me do Lantern Greybeard. It wouldn't let me do Lantern Greybeard of Earth. It wouldn't let me do Greybeard2814, so I just did Greybeard2814. So anyway, you guys see me out there, say hey. But yeah, pretty cool. I mean
– I think it's bullshit that you can – I've tested out a little bit, and it's like I did like, I don't know, 3 or 4 constructs, and like all of your stamina goes away, and then you have to sit there and wait, and you can't construct anything.
Well, it depends on your
– what is this?
Yeah, it depends on your power set, I think. If you're more advanced, because I started a new character, as I said, and I played him through, and I'm a couple levels up now. So consistently stringing the attacks together actually – if you're doing it right, replenishes your power as you're doing it. So it's actually, in terms of power usage, it's the most conservative in terms of draining your power. But you have to get up there. I mean, it's kind of like – it does seem a little silly if you're Green Lantern. You can't just make constructs and smash people all the time. But I alleviate that fact by picking a blasting melee weapon. So even if I'm not using my powers, I'm shooting green beams at people. And in my brain, I'm like, oh, I'm like Jon Stewart in the Justice League cartoon. I'm still using my powers. You know. But overall, I want to say – I'm a fan of the game. There's a lot of problems with the game when the game's been launched, and it's kind of limited and repetitive, you know. But as someone who's a big fan of the DC Universe, this was enough of a shot in the arm that it kind of brought the interest back in the game for me. And like I said, apparently I'm actually a fan of Jeff Johns' creations because I was happy when I saw them. So I don't know. There's no rating system I can give you. If you guys are on the fence about playing the game and want to play a Green Lantern-oriented game, this is the closest you're going to get until never. But I can honestly say I've never felt more like a Green Lantern than I have playing this game, you know.
Did you like the constructs here more than you did with Rise of the Manhunter?
Rise of the Manhunter, there was like 4 constructs. There's more constructs than that. The coloring looks better because they use like comic coloring, so it's very bright. And
what about the usage, though?
No, it's better because you can string them together and Rise of the Manhunter, essentially you're just doing special attacks that look like constructs, whereas in this – there's a whole different strategy to using the powers and stuff. It's interesting, and it's hard to describe, but there's a kind of tactile – you're not just using it as a blast or as like a suck motion or as a, like a melee motion. There's like – I have a couple of constructs that don't really work together in strings, and you can't just do a radial blade. It's hard to describe, but there's like a tactile actual interaction where you have to kind of be aware of yourself and the environment to use the constructs, which is you know, as I'm playing it, and it seems really silly to say, but as I'm playing, I'm kind of realizing this might actually be more reflective of what an actual Green Lantern experience would be, the idea of being aware of your environment and being able to make anything you want, but limiting it to kind of the geographical surroundings, if that makes any sense, what I'm describing. But it's pretty cool. I can't say it's not cool. I'm already kind of biased towards it, but honestly, just standing there with a glowing green ring on your finger, it feels pretty fucking awesome. So I'm not going to be like – I'm going to be a little bit of a fanboy for once. And to shit on it, like I said, it's repetitive. It's mission-based. To get the Green Lantern stuff, you have to kind of throw out all your armor if you're not in the appropriate class. And I'll tell you what's the biggest bullshit is all the Green Lantern shit, the rare stuff is all in a specific class that every time you play with people that you don't know, they're like, you can't roll for that. It's not your class. I'm like, I don't fucking care. That's Kyle Rayner's mask, dick. I don't care if it's a fucking healer class that I'm not. Like, it's mine. So that's the biggest drawback. But if anybody's on the fence about buying the game, now you don't have to buy it. You can get it for free. So there's almost no reason not to try to be a Green Lantern if you have a PlayStation 3 for at least a couple hours.
Well, you have to at least pay for the disc.
Yeah, you have to.
No, you can download it.
Buy the game.
You can download.
It's a $50 game that's free in a couple of weeks. I'm not sure yet when. But in October, the game itself will be free to download on PlayStation 3 and I believe on computer systems and stuff. And then you don't have to pay for it monthly and you don't even have to pay for the additional download. It's completely 100% free.
That's extending what free to play means, but there are drawbacks to the fact that it's free to play. You can't really get the exact same amount of items or archetypes or things like that that are available to you if you have to pay for the game.
Yeah, everything that's currently available in the game, including all the Green Lantern content, all the current raids, are going to be available for you. Which means that based on the quote unquote frequency, what is more like infrequency of updates for the game, they give you serious new content every 2.5 to 3 months. So it means that when this free launch thing works, it's going to be at least 4 months where you're going to be at the same pace as all the people who pay for it. What will happen is as you're going to have to start paying for the content as it comes out. If you want to get like a premium or an ultra premium account or whatever, you can pay monthly. I'm going to probably keep that because you can create more characters. You can carry more money. You have more inventory slots and shit like that. So it's useful if you're serious about the game. But if you're someone, again, who just wants to try being a Green Lantern, honestly, this is the best experience you're going to get so far.
I think this is the most positive I've ever heard him about.
I know.
That's the longest amount of time ever.
That's why I was like apologizing through like 30% of it. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I don't know why I'm not angry right now.
Like, we can even hear in your voice that you're smiling.
Yeah, it's like, and I was like, it's funny because I was playing it right before the cast started, and I was like, just happy. I was like, oh, look, there's zombies. I'm going to smash them with my, you know, my fucking energy construct. I was like, ha, 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 fucking zombies and stuff. And the worst part about it, though, is you're not allowed – you can't have a Green Lantern symbol except if you find there's a rare Green Lantern hoodie that Andrew, dickhead, has found, and I still haven't found it. I play every fucking
day. Really? You still haven't found it?
I find that fucking shit. I've got 2 Sinestro hoodies. I've not found that shit. But that's the only thing in the game that has the actual symbol. Even the Guy Gardner vest, you can have a symbol on it. You just can't have – the Green Lantern symbol, you know, and I think it's total bullshit. Anyway, thumbs up from me in case you can't tell.
Again, glowing positive review on the game. We're going to move on now.
I'm still unclear.
Brave and the Bold. Brave and the Bold. Batman, Scorn of the Star Sapphire, which again, the only people who actually saw the episode is me and Brandon.
You don't have to say that. You just talk
about it. I saw half of it.
See, that's what I had to say. Colton only saw half of it.
So we've had a podcast where Colton hasn't read it. Except for like the first 3 pages, and we let him talk a little bit.
Well, enough of that. We're going to actually go into a discussion between me and Brandon about this episode. Brandon.
Yeah.
I know you have to love this episode. I mean, yes, everything you want. Star Sapphire, Carol Ferris, Star Sapphire.
I wanted to love this episode, but I didn't. I really didn't, and I tried so hard. It was too much like the old Green Lantern issues where Carol was straight up evil. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. She was just bad, and she did bad things. And they tried to mix that with the current continuity with the Zamorans and her being the queen, and it just didn't work for me on a story level or interest level. Hal Jordan got redemption at the end of this episode, but you know, it's all for nothing because Carol doesn't remember anything that happened. So who's to say he's actually going to learn his lesson? It just seemed like the worst of the worst. Like, everything I wanted to happen happened, but it was really bad.
I gotta say, I disagree with you on the fact that it was leaning towards like the new continuity. It felt more like old, like 80s Green Lantern to me. There's a Carol Ferris who becomes a Star Sapphire and didn't remember she was Star Sapphire, or became the evil queen of the Sapphire of the Zamorans and was completely evil. I mean, she wasn't midway through, like, no, I'm in complete control and I'm just an ass. No, this was her, like, maniacal laughter evil.
I agree. I think the only part that was new was the Zamorans coming through and her using her pink ring to do super duper things with it, you know.
A lot of constructs flying around.
Well, only from her, because the Zamorans came through and they shot beams, John Stewart style. But,
Tattooed Man was in it too, right?
For an instant he was. He got punked pretty quickly, though. Batman actually took care of that.
Batman take care of everything in that shit, you know? Batman protects the boundaries of space and time in that show.
Batman is awesome in that show.
Yeah, that was one of the best things about that show, the first season, was that every episode was just new characters Batman had beat the shit out of. But they started balancing it a bit more towards the end, and I was like, no, I don't care. I don't beat the shit out of that guy. Like, I don't want to, you know, punch out Guy Gardner. I don't want to see Superman beat you up, man.
Yeah, I think part of the problem with this episode was that Carol comes down from Zamorin with like 100 Zamorins, and they say, oh, it's only the first wave. And then Batman beats up a couple of them, then gets his butt kicked by Carol, and then she beats up Hal. So now the favor is with the Zamorins, but the hundreds she came with are just chilling. Like, they're doing nothing for the rest of the episode. And while Hal gets up enough courage to save the day, they just fly away. They're like, oh, that's it. We're done here.
We lost.
Yeah, like, we don't have 100,000 waiting for our cue to come. And
we have a planet full of, you know, space Amazon women with firepower and far beyond, you know, normal comprehension.
And I don't want to be too mean on it, because it's, one, a children's show. Two, it's 20 minutes long. So obviously they have, you know, get in and get out. But it just seemed really rushed. It seemed like they wanted to tell a Hal Jordan story because they had focused on Guy Gardner for like 16 episodes now. And
I think they were just trying to butter up people for when the Green Lantern number one was going to come out, so you can be aware of the relationship.
Well, that would justify the fact that this episode has been trying to come out for 4 months now, and they had to delay it. Like, they took Green Lantern, the comic, off the shelves for 4 months. So that actually fits. I wouldn't be surprised if there was some DC Entertainment puppet strings being pulled. I don't think there's anything else I could say. If I went on any further, I'd be bashing Carol, and I don't want to do that.
All right. Like, again, it's a fair episode. It's fun. It's a quick romp. You get to see a lot more Green Lantern-centric stuff in this episode alone than other episodes featuring, you know, outside of the first episode featuring Guy Gardner, Kilowog, and freaking Gnort. It's fun. Again, it's fun. It's good. We get to see a lot of bat planes and bat vehicles blowing up. You know, all at the hands of, you know, Hal Jordan. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. It's pretty funny that it pretty much falls back on the old, you know, Hal Jordan's afraid to say I love you type thing. You know, this is where it all falls into, like, you know, their weird relationship that falls into this whole, I'm afraid to commit to somebody, and she's afraid to actually tell me that I should commit to you. It's still fun. So I gotta recommend, so at least give it a watch.
Yeah, I definitely say check it out, because while the story may not be the greatest of things, the dialogue is always funny. I forgot the guy who does it. I think his name is Diedrich. The voice of Batman is hilarious.
Hey, Dietrich Baker. I'm so tired of that Kevin Conroy. I know everybody's like, blasphemy, but like, Kevin Conroy doesn't sound like Batman to me anyway, so I was just so tired of that being everywhere. I like the idea of, you know, this non-serious Batman voice. It's pretty cool.
I've seen a little bit of the Batman Brave and the Bold, and I had to have it explained to me that it's more a cartoon of the Adam West style stuff. And the only thing I've seen is the one with Aquaman. So
yeah, those are great.
Speaking of,
I always thought of it as a halfway in between Super Friends and Batman Animated Series.
Well, it's not.
It has serious moments, but it's campy moments.
It's an action show. It's not. I think it's like it wouldn't be fair to judge it as Adam West because. It's sort of campy, but it's not like it.
It alludes its style. It alludes its style just, from it's like funny. The old Adam West, you know, the 1968 Batman, you know, a lot like the Batman computers and the car and all that stuff. Yeah, it just alludes its style to it. Like, but everything else is derived from. It's pretty much like very just campy, like you know, action adventure, like you know, swashbuckling Batman.
It's very aware of itself.
Instead of the detective Batman, we're getting the adventurer Batman. Which is not bad. The show itself is great. Has a lot of merits. I'm sad to see it the fact that it got canceled and is off the air now. But it's great. It has great stories. You know, like Shadow of the Bat, one of the best stories that came out.
You know, it's funny because I was saying about the show. It's weak on its story because it's basically the Adam West stuff, like the Silver Age sensibilities with the Batman show, you know, like the Jeff Matsuda designed Dwayne Capizzi show that was actually not that great at all. Cause that show was all action. Like that's all that show was about. And that's Brave and the Bold. Brave and the Bold. It's like, he can't go more than 3 minutes without punching the shit out of somebody, you know, and that's awesome.
The
Hammers of Justice. Like that's such an awesome ongoing joke. And actually I had a long conversation with some people about this show. And what's interesting about the show is they completely ignore anything about DC continuity or DC characters they don't like. Like Green Arrow in that show is nothing like Green Arrow in the comics. Aquaman in that show is nothing like Aquaman in the comics because they pick a personality that is like, it's cool. Do it. And it's like they have no fear on that show whatsoever, you know. It's led to some really awkward, weird episodes. Like I don't like that episode where it's like, you know, the future and Dick is Batman and then Damian is around and it didn't work for me.
It
didn't really work for me. It didn't really work for me.
I forgot what the episode was called, but that was a good episode. It was all a story made by Alfred.
And that's why I don't like it either. And then I liked the episode with Darkseid, except that was kind of the decline of Batman owning ass on that show. Ever since he got his ass hit by Darkseid, the guest stars are allowed to win a couple of fights against him and stuff. And I'm like, no, you need to own some more ass, Batman. Like, and that was cool because that show was like, nah, he's going to fist fight Darkseid. But he can't. No. Why don't you guys just shut up because he's going to fist fight Darkseid right now.
Well,
I'm like, awesome.
For those who are fans of Aquaman, I think there's a super-centric Aquaman episode coming on this Friday. You probably missed it since this is out Sunday. So, hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, they had that really good one off of Family Vacation and stuff. And, yeah, it was good.
Oh,
yeah,
that was a good episode.
Yeah. Some good episodes.
There's another one coming out last Friday.
Again, more into a Batman show.
And they take interesting angles. Like, as Frankie said, there's that one episode, Shadow of the Bat, with the Spectre and all that stuff. And it's the only episode where you see him without his mask on. And I think the only episode where they even call him Bruce Wayne, you know. And essentially, he just exists as Batman fighting crime all the time. And, you know, his gadgets are always better than those guys.
Up to sea, back in time, saving Abraham Lincoln,
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that's the best thing about it. And, like, the opening of the episode, sometimes he's just in the Wild West. And then the teaser ends with him still in the Wild West, and then the episode starts, and he's somewhere else. Like, and it's like they don't explain how he got there, why he went there, how he comes home, and they're like, "Fuck it, man.
It's not important.
Fuck yourself."
And I know all you know. So those Hammers of Justice can be anywhere.
Yeah. And dude, the fact that Jaime, Blue Beetle, and Ryan
Choi featured Blue Beetle in the episode. Yeah?
Well,
and
Ryan Choi, they were like the most returning supporting characters. Like that show is actually partially responsible for people knowing who these characters are. You know, that show is one of the best reasons Brave and the Bold exists is because Brave and the Bold is what forced DC to realize that their whole kind of regressive storytelling, racial politics, damages their company monetarily. You know, because kids don't give a shit about Ted Kord. No one cares who Dan Garrett is, but people think Jaime with the beetle armor is awesome, you know. And everybody thinks Ray Palmer is a waste of time, but Ryan Choi, that guy's pretty cool. He's a math student or something, right? Yeah, but yeah.
Blue Beetle is funny. He's hilarious. You have to watch the episode based on the Return of Bruce Wayne storyline. It is Blue Beetle has so many funny lines in that is hilarious.
Dude, that's like to go across state lines, but that's like the Marvel Superhero Squad show where they're doing episodes based on Tomb of Dracula and Planet Hulk and shit, and you're like, what? Like, is this a show?
No, I like when they adapt things.
That's so. Great. That's great. I think it's great. And, you know, they're all, you know, it's great. Except.
Sorry to see the show go. And then we're going to probably be replaced with a generic Batman, Justice League, something or other show on air. And another Superman show, which sucks. We should get another Superman show on the air.
What's the deal with it?
And then you have an animated series coming out next year.
What does?
Wait, what?
GL animated series. Yeah, but then even then, it's like, and the Young Justice is a pretty good show too, you know, and that's kind of getting poo-pooed off to the wayside and stuff. And what is the deal with that, you know?
Well, no, the show came back, and it still has a another season already in the works of being developed.
Yeah, but only 10 episodes.
So, Z Nation is coming soon, so.
Oh, yeah, that block on Cartoon Network. It's possible. I think it's totally possible. And it's great. I think the way cartoons work is that they only exist to sell toys, and that's not cynicism. Like, that's it. Like, cartoons, if they can't get a toy line going, they cancel the cartoon. They don't care what the ratings are and stuff. And cartoons have to hit 52 episodes. Like, if they renew a show ever, they make a point to renew 50 episodes. And that's why Batman Brave and the Bold got canceled, like, 2 years ago, but it still has new episodes coming out, you know, because they were like, all right, we're not going to make more than 52, but we're only on episode 12, so keep going, you know, and that's and so that's why Young Justice is disheartening, because they only had 13 or 16 episodes. They didn't finish them, and they're like, you get 10 more. And they're like, but what about the other 40? And they're like, shh, we'll talk about that later. Don't worry. Don't worry. You know, so it makes me kind of get sad, but what are you going to do?
We're gonna wrap it up now. Pretty much, thank you all for listening. Hopefully you tune in next week or next coming time you actually listen to the show, and be prepared for our great reviews on Green Lantern.
Be sure to check us out at www.thegreenlanterncorps.com.
You can also email us at contact@thegreenlanterncorps.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at @theGLCorps.
And be sure to check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/GLSpotlight.
You can reach our voicemail line at 313-GL1-2814. That's 313-451-2814.
Thanks for listening, and check us out next time, and please stop masturbating when I'm talking to you.
Be sure to check out Kirby Crackle, the performers of our opening theme, Ring Capacity, at www.kirbycracklemusic.com. Also check out the Roy Clark Method, performers of our ending theme, Sector 2814, at freeweb.com/Roy Clark Method.
This magic green, it is the color green, it can do anything. Sometimes it speaks to me and says, how, what have you done with your life? People around you keep dying. Use your will to light the bomb, and don't make us wait.
You need me to tear it up? I can tear it up. It's really because the graphics are completely shitty.
No,
it's
yes, they are, but no.
Coast City is on the levels, and there's no freaking. And Coast City is on fire. There's no free. Now, in all fairness, do a little fucking tiny bit of research. Go into the goddamn comics for 20 seconds, and you can find, I'm sure, at least two landmarks in Coast City. And they're like, nope, it's just some fire and pillars and fuck you, you know. And Ferris Aircraft is cool because it's Ferris Aircraft. And the only reason you know that is because apparently once in a blue moon you'll pass a sign that says Ferris Aircraft. And I'm like, well, where the fuck is Pie Face? I want to see some racial stereotypes run around here and shit. And how do you have a Green Lantern upload and not put like Hector in there? I mean, a fucking evil star? Like, you can go to hell. Like, that's nothing.